This maimer was delivered by the Rebbe on Shabbos Parshas Vayetze. The date was the 11th of Kislev. The year was Tavshin Mem Zayin, which would be 1986. V'shavti b'shalom beis avi. The maimer opens with the pasuk, the verse in which Yaakov Avinu describes his feelings of confidence after having the special revelation of the Ufaratza vision and the promise that everything would go well. So Father Jacob then anoints this monument and he says, he makes a commitment. He says, V'shavti b'shalom beis avi, I'll return in peace to the house of my father. V'hoyo havaya li lelikim. Havaya, which represents the transcendent energy of divinity, will be li lelikim, which represents the idea of nature. V'ha'evin hazayis, and Yankov states, this stone, Asher Samti Matseva, which I have placed as a monument, Yihye, this will serve as a foundation of, or be part of, Beis Alikim, a house of God, V'chol Asher Titinli, and everything that God will give me, Aser Asenu Lach, I will appropriately tithe. So the Rebbe opens the Maimer by mentioning the fact that there are many diyukim with regard to this pasuk in Maimorim that were delivered by the Mittler Rebbe, Rabbi Dovber, the elder son of the Alter Rebbe, whose Chag HaGeula is on Yud Kislev. This Maimer is that the 11th of Kislev is being delivered, and Yud Kislev was Friday that year. This year it's Sunday. And also the Mittler Rebbe's birth date and the day of his Istalkos is on Tes Kislev, which this year is Shabbos. That year had been the Thursday prior. So this is a kind of year, time of the year, where we kind of focus on the Torah, the teachings of the Mittler Rebbe. And the Rebbe points out that on Shabbos, the Shabbos that follows the week, so on Shabbos, we experience what's called Vayechulu. Vayechulu means Hashem finished, but it also means, comes to the terminology of Kiloyan, which means that whatever it is, reaches its fruition of perfection. It kind of maxes out. So whatever happens during the course of a week, reaches fruition on the day of Shabbos. That's the nature of the holiness of Shabbos. So this is, and it happens in a way of Tainuk, and on Shabbos, whatever happens, happens in the manner of delight. So it's only natural that on this Shabbos, the focus would be on the Maimorim of the Mittler Rebbe. And these are found in a book which is called Teres Chaim, on the Parsha. And the truth is that these Diyukim predate the Mittler Rebbe. His father, the Alter Rebbe, also speaks about this Pasuk in similar fashion in Teres Eir of the Parsha. And then there's also the Maimorim of the subsequent generations. The successor, the son-in-law of the Mittler Rebbe and his successor, the Tzemach Tzedek, who's the grandson of the Alter Rebbe, in Eir HaTorah, and in Drushe, Rabbi Seinu, Nesienu, and the Maimorim of the Rabbeim in their generations. What's the diuk? So the diuk is, it says Vishavti. The word Vishavti in Hebrew means I shall return. So in Torah literature, when you use the word Vishavti, I shall return, what's the first thing you think of? Vishavti, I will return. So what noun? That's a verb. Vishavti, I will return. What's the first noun we think of? Tshuva. Tshuva, the noun of tshuva. The neisif lazeh shahapidu shahposhut. In addition to the fact that the simple meaning of vishavti is milshain shiva, it means literally come back, chazara, to return. So, and that's literal because our father Jacob at this point in his life is leaving the land of Israel. And he makes a commitment, a promise, I'll be back. I will return. So in addition to that literal meaning, in addition to this, Vishavti shares a common root and is synonymous with the notion of tshuva, which is a big part of Judaism. A big part of Yiddishkeit, a big part of a Torah life is tshuva. So what has to be understood, though, is what's the connection to tshuva? Yaakov doesn't do any sins at this point that we have to worry about. It's not like he said, I did X, Y, and Z wrong, now I need to do tshuva. So vishavti. So as if Yaakov came to this conclusion or realization, something he did was wrong, and he made a commitment. I'm going to do tshuva. I'm going to restore my spirit. We never heard of him doing anything wrong. Like, why does he have to do tshuva for? And then, furthermore, not only we have this idea of tshuva, but it's v'shavti b'shalom. So v'shavti b'shalom means, I don't know how the next couple of years are going to go, and it may be tumultuous, but I'll return, which is part commitment and part prayer, in peace. But if we talk about v'shavti through the prism of tshuva, framing it as tshuva. So what does it mean that the tshuva will be bishalim, and it's a nutrikan? The word bishalim could be broken into two words, beis shalim, two dimensions of peace. So what is that? What's the two shalomis? What's the two pieces here? We also have to understand the v'shafti b'shalom al beis avi davka, to my father's house, one into my mother's house, one into my grandfather's house. It's davka beis Yitzchak. And we have the similar idea. It's the v'yeshev yankiv, the father Jacob returns, be'eretz megurei aviv, the land of the sojourns of his father, be'eretz Canaan. Why do we call it megurei Yitzchak, the sojourns of Yitzchak? And then, of course, what's the havaya lila elikim, and the business of the stone. The stone will be a house. And then, and the tithes. I mean, there's a lot going on in this little verse. There's a lot of things being alluded to, and we have to really understand how they come together to form a common theme. Now, I have to warn you that we're not going to have enough time to finish this maimer, so we'll touch on some of these points. The thing is like this. As is explained in Teres Chaim, and the Torah Ur and the Ur Torah of the Rabbeim, the three Rabbeim, the Alta Rebbe, the Mitla Rebbe, and the Tzemach Tzedek respectively, as well as the Memorim that follow, which Shagam Haisifu Bezeba, Eifin de la Fashila, each one of the Rabbeim who explained this idea and developed this idea actually didn't just repeat concepts, but developed the concepts, explained the concepts, found new depth, new profundity as the concept was developed and explained. So taking kind of the sum total of everything that his predecessors had developed and explained up to this point, and the Rebbe now is going to move this idea forward, the Hini Be'inyan Beis Shalom, with regard to this idea of the duality in peace, or the two kinds of peace, Beis Shalom, which this is the idea of Shalom B'Pamalya Shalmaila, V'Shalom B'Pamalya Shalmata, peace on high and peace below. Peace in the heavenly or spiritual realm, and the peace in the terrestrial or literal realm. In other words, Beis in Yanei Shalom. Shalom means the Shalom, the peace sought in Elumas Al Yoinim, in higher dimensions, higher worlds, and the Shalom in Elumas Tachatachten, the peace sought in this lower terrestrial world, the world of physicality and materiality, the 3D world. She'ein Tachten L'mata Himenu. It doesn't get lower than this. And then when we talk about higher dimensions and lower dimensions, lofty worlds and literal worlds, and we have this notion of peace in them all, Nishtal Shel Gamba Avedas Kol Echad. See, Chassidus comes along and says, it's not good enough to talk about ideas conceptually, no matter how lofty or holy or spiritual our perspective is. The bigger question is, what does it do with me? How does this filter into my everyday life? Now, there's two books that are written by the Talmidim of the Arizal. There's something called Eitz Chaim, which means the tree of life, and then there's Pre-Eitz Chaim. Then there's the fruit of the tree of life. So Eitz Chaim talks entirely about a heavenly reality, about higher realms, about a deeper kind of existence that we can't fathom or see, literally. But it talks about the whole spiritual realms. Pre-Eitz Chaim talks about the mitzvahs and how they impact those higher worlds. There's a difference between Pre-Eitz Chaim is Eitz Chaim is in the heavens. Pre-Eitz Chaim is deals with us, and what does this mean to us? And Chassidus really takes that notion of Pre-Eitz Chaim and brings it into a whole new reality, a whole new level, a whole new realm where everything has to be translated into some kind of practical lesson in Avedas Hashem, the loftiest ideas. Like it says, Gam es ha'olam nasam belibam. This is an expression of King Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastics, but really, when Shlomo Melech talks about this in Kohelas, he talks about the deeper meaning of it is that global ideas, big ideas, holy spiritual ideas, everything has to be found or seen or framed in my own heart. What does it mean to me? If the reality is out there somewhere, it also has to be in here somewhere. So, sheyeshnam hashalim binyanim hal yonim shel adam. There is the idea of peace in the lofty, spiritual, or higher realm of a person's consciousness or existence. Hainu ha'neshama shalai, the person's neshama, and you know, on some deep, lofty, profound, spiritual level of consciousness. And then there's the shalim binyanim tachtenim, then there's the peace which we have to seek in the adam ha'tachten, in the person, the terrestrial human being, as he or she exists, body and soul fused together, and that has to work for us in this world, in this realm. Ubeprateus. if we can only get more detailed about this. In Beze Fani HaAveda, this can speak about two different modes or dimensions of our divine service, namely the Torah and the mitzvahs. The study of Torah, the knowledge of divine ideas, and grasping and understanding that knowledge, knowing that. And then there's the notion of things which have to be done. Mitzvahs are not theoretical, mitzvahs are practical. They have to be carried out in the flesh, in the most literal rubric of existence. So Torah represents hamshacha milmaila. Torah represents taking something from a lofty level and bringing it into my understanding, my consciousness, my frame of existence, on a theoretical sense. Masha enken on mitzvahs, when it comes to mitzvahs, it's not about taking some lofty idea that's out there and say, okay, so how do I bring it down to my world? What does it mean to me? How can that idea be grasped by the human mind within the metaphor or framework of my everyday existence and my familiarity and experience? That's what Torah is. But mitzvahs are, how do I take this and do with it what Hashem asked me to? So if this is wool or leather, if it's wax or oil, is a mitzvah to be done with it? So what's the appropriate way? How do I take this physical material item? How do I harness it, modify it, channel it, utilize it so that a mitzvah should be performed? You got a pile of flour in front of you and you can go get water from a well. How do I turn that into a matzah? A matzah that I should be able then to eat in the appropriate way on the appropriate time to fulfill the mitzvah. So the halachas or the strictures that govern the performance of mitzvahs are all about how do we take that physical item, how do we do this physical thing in a mitzvah way, the way Hashem told us to do it. So that's called birur hamata. That's called I know what mamata means. I'm trying to look at it with a birur. The word birur is like refinement. It's refining that which is below. So that which is below is like it's in the rough. It's a diamond in the rough. It has to be refined. All of the material world is filled with potential. It's an amazing world. What's so amazing about it? It's amazing because it could be utilized for holiness. It could all be godly, but it's in the rough. When you look at the world, you don't see a godly world. You see a world that mocks godliness and holiness and spirituality and the presence of a creator. And this world that denies all those things and laughs at all those things and has no reverence for all those things is a place that's wonderful because it could be made to reflect all of these deeper truths. And it could be harnessed and channeled in a way which becomes an extension of what does God want? How would God want his world to look? And that's the idea of Direi B'Tachtonim, of course. When we talk about a Beis HaMikdash, Beis HaMikdash was a place in which everything functioned exactly as per the Ratzon Hashem. So that was a Direi B'Tachtonim. U'b'chlalus Yeser, more generally speaking, Beis B'chinas the Shalim, the two levels of peace here, the lofty level of peace, the peace above and the peace below, the Shalom B'Pamal Yishal Maila, the Shalom B'Pamal Yishal Mata, the heavenly dimension and the earthly dimension. The Shalom which is in the direction of actualization of lofty concepts, bringing things down. And the Shalom, which is Mumata Lomaila, taking physical things and refining them, elevating them. And Yani Shalom Shabbat. These are the two ideas of Shalom which show up in a different Torah verse. And this is in the prophecies of Isaiah. Yeshayahu HaNavi, in the 57th chapter, says, Shalom, Shalom, peace, peace, l'rochek v'lakarev, to the one who's close, to the one who's far and the one who's close. L'rochek shenase karev. So on this, we have the notion that there could be one who is distant who became close. And that's what the Gemara says in Maseches Brachas on page 34. The Gemara talks about the idea that Shalom, Shalom, Lekarev, Lerachik, Lekarev means taking the Rachik, the one who's far away, and making him a Karev, making him somebody who's close, somebody who's beyond the pale, beyond the orbit, bringing him into the inner dimension. The Hainu, that is to say, that HaShalom Lekarev, Shouinyan Avedas HaTzadik and Gemurim, the peace, the shalom that's engendered or experienced by those who are karev, those who are close, that's perfect tzaddikim. And then there's the hashalom l'rachek, then there's the peace or the wholesomeness which is made, shanasa karev, of the one who was far, who became close. If tzaddikim are karev, are close, then who is the rachek shanasa karev? Who is the distant one who became close? That refers to Balei Tshuva, that's the Aveda of Balei Tshuva. V'zehu, and this then is the meaning of v'shavti b'shalem. I'll return in peace. V'shavti koi alavedes ha-tshuva. V'shavti brings to mind the concept of tshuva, as we mentioned right in the outset. V'al derech zeh masher kosov b'shalem, that the v'shavti, the tshuva, will be b'shalem and beis shalem, two levels, two dimensions, two kinds of peace. Koi l'gam avedes ha-tshuva. Speaks even about avedes ha-tshuva. How does that work? Because of Zemedaber, Al Hagili, the loss of love. This pasuk, in its fullest sense, is not speaking about the reality of now. This is the future reality. It's the reality of now, but really the reality of tomorrow. This is the Gili. This speaks about the revelatory experience that will unfold when Mashiach will come. Hashayach la'avedas ha'tshuva dafke. Which this is connected specifically to the Aveda, to the service and efforts made to try to reclaim innocence, to try to retrace our steps, to come back. The Noisif Lozeh, in addition to this notion, Shekvar Kolo Kol HaKitzim Vein Adavar Toli Ela B'tshuva, which this is an expression the Gemara said already in its time. All the appointed times of Mashiach have passed. They thought, okay, the first Golos was 70 years, the second Golos will be 70 years. Bar Kochva came along, it didn't work, a disaster. And they thought, another appointed time, the Gemara says, the time, point of times are all coming gone. So why is the Mashiach here yet? This they said 17 centuries ago. So ain't a davar tali a tshuva. Only tshuva. Tshuva is what's needed now. So besides the idea of tshuva in general, which would be the idea of making bali tshuva and bringing Yidden home to Yiddishkeit, and that's the idea of tshuva, and that stimulates the greatest transformation and brings about the change that we're all waiting for. It accelerates the process of redemption. So besides all of this, that in Yoni Shel Mashiach is connected to tshuva, like it says, Mashiach asa, Mashiach will come, says the Zohar. La'asava, to bring or enter, tzadikaya, the right to purely righteous, betiyufta in tshuva in return. Shahachidish biyabiyas ha-Mashiach tzidkenu, that the chidish of Mashiach yiyah masha'az tiyah loyrak mailas avedis ha-tzadikim. Not only will build it be the virtue of avedis ha-tzadikim, which is the idea of temidim kesidron, the idea of the tzadikim, they don't miss a beat. Every I is dotted, every T is crossed. Every opportunity that they had in Avedis Hashem was fully performed. No wasted days, no lost opportunities, no forgotten ability that was left somewhere. Everything was fully harnessed and utilized. That's a shleima. That's a perfect affection of Avedis Hashuva. Elagam Mailas Avedis Bali Hashuva. There's also the virtue of Bali Hashuva, means opportunities lost, days wasted, chunks of life that weren't utilized. That we all know what the words of our sages, which the Rambam quotes in Halacha, that even the place where tzaddikim, the greatest of tzaddikim are, in the place where Bali Tshuva stand, the greatest of tzaddikim can't stand there, can't exist there. So that this adds the shleimus, not only the idea of Mashiach being connected to Tshuva, but this talks about the idea of a shleimus, a perfection in the notion of Tshuva. This helps us explain. So now we know what it means v'shavti. V'shavti b'shalom beisavi. Yaakov Avinu is now preparing the way for the future Beis HaMikdash, which rises to its full perfection, of course, only when the third Beis HaMikdash is built. So Yaakov's promise on that mountain, on a windswept rocky mountain, when he establishes a monument and he says v'shavti b'shalom, is talking not only about his immediate future. It's not talking what Yaakov will do in 2 decades or so. It's not talking even about what happened a few hundred years in the first Beis HaMikdash was built. But ultimately, this stretches across millennia. And Yaakov Avinu is paving the way, and he's laying the foundation for the future with Mashiach. And that's why he says, V'shavti b'shalim, the idea of V'shavti, the idea of tshuva, is what's necessary for the Beis HaMikdash to rise in its fullness, in its mature form. So in addition to all of this, the concept of tshuva has to be beis shalom, v'shavti, beis shalom. Yaakov Avinu says that this will be done in a way, in the perfect way, which tshuva has to be done in a way of shleimut, in a way of perfection, utilizing all of its possibilities. And this will help us also understand why he says al beis avi. Because since this pasuk, as we explained it, is not referring to Yaakov's immediate future, it's not referring to Yaakov's promise to come home to Israel, but rather, this is Yaakov charting the course of the future. Just like the prophecy he received was futuristic, uforatzta yom v'kedma, a prophetic sentence that encapsulates the fortunes of the Jewish people until the end of time, and in fact, especially in the end of time, fully fulfilled only when Mashiach comes. So Yaakov's statement is also like that. He's also speaking about the immediate future, but more importantly, the extreme distant future for him at the time, which for hopefully for us is the immediate future. The La'asad Lavi, the future that is about to come. Hadayidua, it's known, Shagiluyim de La'asad Lavi, that the revelatory realities of the future, Shayachal Madregas Yitzchak. That's connected to Yitzchak. So we have three patriarchs, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. And we know that the way the reality of Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov spells the past, the present, and the future. And Yitzchak represents the future. Kimavur Bekarim Bekarim says, explained in many places. The Gemara makes a statement like this, a Masechet Shabbat on page 89, where it talks about the ideas of Matan Torah. And this is elaborated on in Chassidus and Alter Rebbe and Torah, in many places. That when Mashiach will come in that future that hasn't yet unfolded, then we'll say to Yitzchak Davka, Ki ata avinu. Now we don't understand the efforts of Yitzchak. The least information of the patriarchs is about Yitzchak. And we don't know exactly what Yitzchak represents. He dug wells. What does that mean? But this is the teichen hefesh ben avedis Yitzchak l'avedis Avram. The big difference between Avram Avinu's efforts and Yitzchak's efforts. She'ikir in yonei. Shall Avram, the idea of Avram was Hamshachem al Maila Lamata. He brought godliness into people's consciousness. He introduced godliness into a world that had forgotten all about it. So he was taking things from a lofty plane and bringing them down, actualizing them. Kamisha Kosov, like it says, Kiyodaitiv, God says about Avram Avinu, I know, Laman, Asher, Yitzhava, Ezbonav, is basic as Avram commands, which really means to connect his household, his children, his household, Achrav, Vishomru, Derech Hashem, they keep the way of God, Lasis, Sadako, Mishpa, to do righteousness, to be just. Shezeu, Winyan, Avedis, Hatzadikim, that's Avedis, Hatzadikim. Tzedakah mitzedek u'mishpat. Everything is done right. All the tzedakah the tzaddik gives, and he gives endlessly. He lives his life in a perfectly calibrated fashion. Everything is done with justice, so to speak. Everything is done with rhyme and reason and symmetry. Everything's right. Tamidim kesidin represents the idea of having every moment fully and appropriately utilized. Bashenken avodas Yitzchak. Yitzchak is not doing all the right things, making all the good things happen in real time. Yitzchak is the idea of chafiras habeiris, of the well digging, which is hasaras ha'afar, to remove the soil, the silt, the ha'alamas, the concealment, the hestadim, the things which block all that blockage, all the things that get in the way, the minis v'ikuvim, all of the challenges, the difficulties that disallow and disable the water to reveal itself. Ah, shezeu winyan havoida milmata lamaila. Yitzchak's taking the mata. He's taking the earth, the crust of earth that conceals life elixir water, and he's bringing forth, he's elevating the water, he's revealing that which was always there. That, my dear friends, is the avoida of Bali Tshuva. And that's like the avoida. We say there was tamidim kesidon, there was the regular offerings in the Beis HaMikdash, and then there was the musafim, then there was the additional, the special things. And Yitzchak, he deals in a special way, a special realm. Because the Mashiach will come, it'll be about revealing the potential that this earth has, more so than just introducing godly ideas into an earthly existence. To reveal how even the tzaddik, who did everything right, even the tzaddik had come into a level of tshuva. Oh, when that happens, Yoimru le Yitzchak Davka, that will say to Yitzchak, ah, you are our hero, you are our guide, ki ata avenu, you are our patriarch. That's why it says, Khan, El Beis Avi, because as we learned, this is talking about the future through Mashiach, that's why it says, Veshavti v'shalom, El Beis Avi, I return in peace to Beis Avi, to my father's home, because it refers to a futuristic reality, a Mashiach reality, that's why we say, the house of my father, of Yitzchak. And he goes on to explain that's the meaning of Havaya Lila Lekim. When will Havaya be Lekim? Also, Ratzon Shem Mashiach will come. And the idea of the stone becoming the monument, being Beis Lekim. He talks about that whole idea of elevating stones and what stones represent. And all of this together comes to the perfection of tithing, which represents a number of 10. And the idea of the full potential of this world being developed, which is made of, everything is made of 10. And that's connected to the coming of Mashiach and the rebuilding of the third Beis HaMikdash in multiple ways, as the Maamar goes on to detail. May all of this be speedily and in our days. Amen. Shabbat Shalom. Good Shabbos. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. It should be an inspirational Yom HaYilula, Tev Kislev, and hopefully a joyous Yud Kislev. And from these minor days of joy, we should go into Simchas Olam, the major days of joy with the coming of Mashiach B'Mehedra. ubi amenu. Amen.
Amen.